that's how we can build each other up. We can love the way that Jesus loved. It may not stop the blood from flowing. It may not stop the bruises from happening. But it gives us a place when we are wounded. There is no more effective healer than a wounded healer. And he's been wounded for us. So the church lives out these wounds, they live out this whole process. So again, we continue to ask the question, how bad can things get until we meet the revelation of Jesus Christ? And then we come to the third seal. After all of this, it says he opens the third seal. I heard the third living creature call out, "Come." And I looked, and there was a black horse. His rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, 3 quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the what? The oil or the wine." Okay. Third living creature, if we're going in order. Remember the first horse, the white horse, it was the first living creature. The first living creature was a lion. There's another way that we determine that the white horse Jesus is that the living creature had the voice of a lion, our Lion of Judah, amen. Our Lamb that was slain and our Lion of Judah. The second one was the ox or the calf, depending on what you have. It is an animal of sacrifice. So that's how we knew that this war, that the one of the red horses was fighting was one of the spiritual war, was one that was making martyrs. This one comes from the voice of the what? As the case of a man. So this one appears that whatever happens here, this is man-made, this is human-centered. If it's a problem, it's a human problem. Whatever is about to happen, or whatever is going on in here, this thing of this environment, the scale, whatever is going on, it seems to be a people problem. A person problem, if you will. What color is the horse that's running? It's black. It's black. That's what we think of when we think of black. But in Scripture, do not think of black as opposite of white. In other words, don't think of it specifically as a color. Because in the New Testament, I want to tell you this, that this word that is used 6 times, it's only used 6 times in all the New Testament. You can expect that if black was opposite of white, it would be used a heck of a lot more. But it's only used 6 times, and then 6 times in the New Testament, 4 times it is used to denote ink. So ink on a page is what you're looking at. So what I'm trying to get across is that it's not necessarily a physical color as being opposed to something else. It isn't black and white as being black in opposition of white or white in opposition of black. It's more spiritually given. We're going to run into it again in the 6th verse, verse 12, that the sun actually is going to turn as black as sackcloth, if you will. Pink, if you will. So it is a spiritual connotation. It denotes darkness rather than color. Like I said, I didn't want to completely pass on this. There is one time when it denotes color. And that's when Jesus said, "Worry with them will not make one of your hairs white or black." So it's darkness as opposed to light. It's a spiritual connotation. Okay? It's darkness as opposed to light. So the spiritual connotation then is that light would be the good news. If it is the gospel, then this would be the opposition to the gospel, if you will. Or it should be seen as, again, as the opposite of white as a color. It might just be the absence of the gospel. You with me? Because again, the white horse was the color of victory. This is why Jesus is writing that. He already has victory. He's gained the victory. And he's given it to you and me. He wants us to know that we have the victory right now. We are completely victorious in Christ. The red horse denoted blood. They wanted us to know what was happening here. There are martyrs. There are people that are being spilled. The blood's being spilled because of the spreading of the gospel. In this particular case, there's a dark horse, there's a black horse, if you will, to be Barley for a day today, but do not damage the oil. which it doesn't protect the enemy. It affects only the grain, okay? It affects only the grain. It doesn't affect something else. So what happens here is Deuteronomy says, he'll love you, bless you, multiply you, he'll bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain, your wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the issue of your flock, the land that was born to your ancestors. Basically, what this writer is doing is that he's giving a kind of a crop report to Israel. Because these are their three main crops, grain, oil, and wine. That's what it says here. Grain, oil, and wine. Three main crops, olives, grapes, and grains. This is a summary agricultural statement of the region. This is in Wikipedia. If you call up the Holy Land in Wikipedia, this is what it will be told in ancient. Their main crops are grain, oil, or olives. And what is it? And what is it? The grains are animals. You're harvesting them only on me if it's an animal. Once a year. All of the grapes are perennial. They have thicker roots, if you will. They have deeper roots, if you will. So their shortage is only on the shortage of what? It's only on the shortage of grain. And as a matter of fact, he says, don't even harm the oil and what? The oil and the wine. Well, think about this. You know what is necessary, you know what is fundamental, it's the grain. The grain is absolutely fundamental, if you will. Oil and wine, if you will, grapes and olives, that's the dessert. So the famine only affects your food, your meal, but it doesn't affect your dessert. You still have oil on your salad. You still have grapes in which you can make wine, you can make jam and jelly. That's a pretty good family, right? And it says only your vegetables, but not your dessert. The luxuries are still available during this time. Why does it make sense? Because grapes and oil being perennial, the roots being deeper, drought didn't even affect them as much as it affected the animals. Right? So you get to rain, this one rain, and you did not have a wheat harvest at all. But it's saying here that the desserts, if you will, the luxuries, if you will, won't be affected. In fact, he's ordered not to affect. So the staples are a short supply, but the luxuries are still there. So the imagery that you have is number one, And it's an interesting looking church. It's a geodesic dome. And the worst of sinners in the day, the absolute worst of sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people who knew exactly who they were, and were reminded of every day by who? By the church. When they met Jesus, what did they do? They couldn't do nothing. They were falling at his feet. They were washing his feet with their tears in their hair. And all the while, the church, believers, people that claim to have the word, but truly were spiritually damaged by one thing. Always constantly reminding them of who they were and why they didn't belong. And should we stone her or not? And Jesus says, come unto me, because my yoke is well. My yoke is mild. It's gentle. So he asked a simple